We can be so eager for God to change our circumstances when what God wants is for us to embrace His call. We can be so eager for God to change our circumstances when what God wants is for us to embrace His call. That's the very simple message from 1 Corinthians today. And it is a short message because we're leading into our time at the around the table this morning. We're coming and there is bread, which we will tear off and eat little bits of bread. And there are little cups of juice we have here, not wine. Some churches have wine. We have little cups of juice that we are going to share. And I just will say kind of up front that our practice here at Hillview is that if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if He's leading you on, if He's the Lord of your life, the one who to whom you are seeking to give your devotion to day by day, if you know the Lord Jesus, then you are so welcome to participate when we share bread and wine. There can even be moments in these coming minutes as we come to the Scriptures when you can make that decision once and for all. Yes, I am putting my trust in Jesus. And if that's you this morning, then you can share in this time that we will be having with bread and wine. And what will happen during this time? Well, we will pray. We'll read some Bible readings. We'll maybe sing a little bit as we've been doing. But at the center of this moment, this morning, there is bread that we eat, and there's juice, in our case, that we drink. I don't know how much you've thought about this reality, that we're eating and we're drinking something. Isn't it amazing that Jesus told His followers to carry on this practice of eating and drinking? And indeed, when you think of the other main practice that Jesus told His followers to continue, that is baptism, it's interesting, isn't it? You have bread, you have juice or wine, and you have water. And one of the things that that reality does is to make it very difficult for us to consider Jesus Christ and issues relating to Jesus Christ as solely a spiritual thing. Coming to church is not just about getting a little spiritual buzz, which we can then take back to so-called real life, where we perhaps touch things, act, feel, move. Relationship with Jesus breaks into our whole life. And I don't know if you've ever thought that through. So it's very stark in the picture of baptism. When someone gets baptized in that tank, they get soaked right through. The reality of that moment is right there before them. They're soaked. They're wet. God, in a sense, the picture is saying that God has covered all of me. I'm all in. I am affected here. Okay? And it's the same with the Lord's table. Perhaps we've lost a little bit of the sense of the meal that Jesus had with His followers. What we have are just these tiny little bites of bread, and instead of, you know, a shared cup of wine, we have little thimbles, if you like, of juice to share. But the reality is that we are taking something in to our body, okay? Something is affecting our body. Food and drink comes into our mouth and down into our stomachs, okay? And certainly this is beyond just a personal individual encounter. This is something that we share in together, and that's something that we will look at and you know, later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But what's the purpose of this? What's the meaning of bread and juice? Why did God not just give us certain words to say? Why did God not just give us certain prayers to say or songs to sing or words to repeat? Why do we have bread and wine that we share together and that we take into our bodies? Well, as I say, we're going to dig a little bit into this later on in Corinthians, but one important reminder of this is that we are saying, God, You are actually here right now. We're reminding ourselves of that. What I'm not saying is that God is directly present in the bread and wine. That's a whole different church tradition that believes that. But we are reminding ourselves that as we take this bread and wine, as we hold something, as we take something into our bodies, we're reminding ourselves that God is here, not in the bread and wine, so to speak, but he's here by his Spirit. We're reminding ourselves that God is real. We're reminding ourselves that God is changing us. That God is changing us. And it's that sense of, okay, not a lot around about me might be changing. But in the same way that bread and wine go deep down into me, so you, by your Spirit, are here and you can bring deep, deep change into my life. That something can change as a result of this time. Something can change as a result of this encounter. This is not an abstract spiritual moment and then back to real life. No, something is affecting me. A change is coming. That is what we are reminding ourselves of as we take bread and juice. Yes, we are considering Jesus' body given for us. Yes, we are considering Jesus' blood shed for us. There is no communion with God. There is no salvation. There is no closeness or nearness with God without the shed blood that he has given for us. But this is no isolated, personal, purely spiritual encounter. This is more than only remembering. And that's one of the things that this meal does. There's chewing to be done. There's swallowing and digesting to be done. Not a lot is changing around me, but I am changed. And that's one of the things that we're remembering in this meal. And that's the thrust of these few verses in 1 Corinthians 7 that we're looking at today. Not a lot is changing around about me, but I am changed within me. Let's read from verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 7. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freed man of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a slave of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. So, brothers and sisters, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. Paul has been seeking through this whole letter to the church in Corinth, seeking to lay out for them what is the Christian life to look like. And since chapter 5, he's been looking at a number of very specific scenarios and asking, what does it look like to live like a Christian in certain scenarios? And some of those have been very clear yes or no answers. So what does it look like to live like a Christian? Well, do not sleep with your stepmother in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's just a clear one, right? Just don't do that. You can't do that to the glory of God, right? What does it look like to live like a Christian? Do take action if there's someone in your community of faith who's persistently, arrogantly, without repentance, pursuing a path which is immoral or leading people astray, away from God. Do take action in that scenario, Paul's saying. Do flee from sexual immorality, he says. And then he also says, don't act like your body doesn't matter. That's what we've been looking at the last few weeks. So Don't act like your body doesn't matter in terms of, oh, well, I can just do whatever I want with it and get involved in any sorts of messed up behavior. Don't do that. Or don't act like your body doesn't matter and the way that you deal with that is by removing any bodily contact from anyone. No, these are some of the lessons that we've been learning, some clear do's and don'ts. But in this passage, we see that sometimes there are no particular do's or don'ts. For the people of God, there is no urgent change that will come to our external circumstances. There is only the deep reality of who we are in Christ, the deep reality of to whom we belong, of whose we are. And the reality in this passage is Paul is saying, that is enough. That is enough. Don't forget that you're called of God. Find God in whatever circumstances you find yourself this morning. Sometimes there is no immediate action to be taken. There is just a new reality that we need to embrace and take to heart. Gordon Fee puts it like this. One's relationship with God has nothing at all to do with where a person is in terms of one's social setting, but altogether with who one is in whatever setting one is found. My life around me seems the same, but there's amazing purpose in that. I'm finding God in that. Three times in this passage, Paul makes this point. First time is in verse 17. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. God has assigned you a life. He has called you in a specific and unique way. And the call is just lead that life. What has God given you today? Lead that life. And then we see it again in verse 20. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Same thing. And then verse 24. So, brothers and sisters, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. It's the same thing. Change is not always going to come to your external circumstances, but just remain, remain. And then we see this wonderful little phrase, if we can just ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate this phrase for us, because it's just so wonderful beyond words. We will spend eternity dwelling on this. Remain with God, with God. He's here this morning. This great God that we've been singing to, He is here. And our calling is, there are some scenarios in life where it's not that God is going to lead you out of it to something remarkably different. But sometimes the calling is to remain with God in close communion and fellowship with God. It's a beautiful thing. And in this paragraph, Paul gives two examples where that might be the case. Where, you know what, don't worry about a change coming, just be with God in that. He gives the example of circumcision. So remember that Jesus and his followers were Jewish. So as Christianity spread around the world, this was a question. Did you need to be like Jesus and his followers? Did you need to be, if you like, anatomically Jewish? And they had to figure that out. And Paul is saying, no, don't worry about that. That's good news for many of us here. Don't worry about that reality. Don't get worked up about that. Whether that has happened or whether it's not is no big deal. Just know that you're called of God. That's what Paul's saying. He gives that example, and he also gives the example of slavery. Now, we hear slavery, and of course, all sorts of horrific scenarios in our world come to mind. And there were indeed horrific scenarios in Paul's day as well, but it is important to remember that when we read of slavery in the New Testament, it often, not always, but often, was a very different understanding to the slavery that we encounter today, or over the 20th century, for example. It was often a position of reasonable dignity and respect, to the extent that Some were afforded the opportunity to free themselves from slavery, but actually many were quite happy to stay in that place because it was a reasonably comfortable life, and they were quite happy there. And Paul makes the same point into that context as he does with circumcision, albeit with one addition. Unlike circumcision, which is completely morally neutral, Paul does make one slight suggestion towards, you know, having your freedom, because God did not make us to be owned by anyone. So Paul says, well, you know, if you can get your freedom, then you probably should. But his main point is the same. Don't worry about changing your external circumstances. Just know who you are. Know whose you are. And he makes this lovely point with the slavery. He says, if you're a slave, that's not who you are. If your external reality is that you're a slave, you're actually free in the Lord anyway. Just know that. Know who you are. And if you're not a slave, if you're free, remember that you're not really free. You actually belong to Jesus. You're a slave of Christ. He is your Lord. Your life is to be given to Him. Everything comes back to who you are in Him. Just know that God has called you. Verse 24, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. Find God. Remain with God. Eat the bread. Drink the wine. Not much will look different around you, but that you will know that God is here. You will know what this bread and wine point to. We can be so eager to change our circumstances when what God wants is for us to embrace the call He has put on your life to be with Him today in whatever circumstances are before you within reason. Like I said, there are some do's and don'ts. But for those many, many situations that are broadly morally neutral, sometimes we want a change of external circumstances when what God wants is for us to embrace that we are called by Him as His children. And God wants us to know, I'm with you. I'm with you in this struggle. I'm with you in this difficulty. Just be with me. Lindsay and I had a wonderful few days away at a conference last weekend, the Encounter More conference in Coleraine, run by Causeway Coast Vineyard Church. And they have this beautiful culture in this church of people just who are chasing, it seems, not everyone of course, but there is a sense, a strong sense of a culture in the church where they are chasing after God's will for them wherever He's put them. Just in the day-to-day life, they have a huge focus on what does it mean to bring the light of Christ to our businesses, to the workplace? What does it mean at the school gates? What does it mean in the clubs that we have or that our children have? What does it mean just in day-to-day life? There was one girl who got up and shared her story of just so naturally, it was so clear, it was so natural to just speaking about Jesus when she was shopping at Primark. And Alan Scott, one of the lead pastors there, stood up and just said, I just love that story is so natural. It's just about shopping on a Saturday morning. We all do that. And there's this lovely sense of just finding God in the normal moments of life. I want to give another example. I want to share a video now from a talk by a guy called Phil Vischer. Apologies to our small group because they've seen this little clip here. In fact, they've seen the whole talk. It's well worth checking out. Phil Vischer is the creator of VeggieTales, which will mean something to some of you. The cartoon vegetables that speak of the love of God. God, right. If you grew up in church, that makes sense. If you're like new to church, you're like, what is this weird group of people I'm in who think this is normal? In this talk, he's speaking about his struggle over the years with identity. He's speaking about his fears and insecurities and the weight that he has lived with trying to change his circumstances so God would be pleased with him. And then after we watch this, we're going to share bread and wine together.
What burdens do you carry? What weighs you down? In my line of work, I'm burdened by the sense that I can't do it as well as Pixar. I can't. Is that a cheer for Pixar or against me? I'm not sure.
You sure can't do it as well as Pixar.
And the first time I'm in the middle of trying to build my little computer animation company, and I go and see Toy Story. And I just walk out of thinking, oh man, is that where the bar is now? But you know what? I don't have to compete with Pixar. Do you know why? Because I can do something that Pixar can't do. I can show kids the love of God. I'll tell you one story about that. There's a kid. In 1999, I got a letter from a kid named Thomas. And it was actually a letter from the Make-A-Wish Foundation, because Thomas was a 9-year-old boy with an inoperable brain tumor. And you know the Make-A-Wish Foundation, they try to answer the wishes of kids with terminal illnesses. And Thomas's wish was that he could be a voice in a VeggieTales video. And so we thought, okay, we're going to make this happen. So we took one of the silly songs with Larry and we rewrote it with a part for Thomas. And then we set up a date for Thomas to come in and sing with Larry the Cucumber in a silly song. And that date came, but Thomas had taken a turn for the worse and he didn't make the date. So we set up another one after that, and that date came, but Thomas didn't make that one either. And then we didn't hear anything for a couple of weeks until I got a letter. And it was a letter from Thomas's mother. And Thomas had passed away the weekend before that. And she just wanted to tell me that in the last hour that he was conscious, he had asked if he could watch the very first VeggieTales video, Where's God When I'm Scared, one last time with his family. And what broke me up was he didn't ask for the latest Pixar movie. You know, he didn't ask for a clown to come in and juggle and make balloon animals. He didn't even ask for an Xbox. He wanted to hear one more time with his family about the God who made him special and loves him very much and is bigger than anything he could be facing, even death itself. That is something I can do that Pixar can't. And it is something it is something that you can do. My ministry doesn't start with a big budget. It doesn't start with amazing plans to change the world. My ministry starts with God's love. And not his love for the people I'm ministering with, actually his love for me. Once I rest in God's love, once I bring my burdens to the cross and lay them down and let them go and then stay at the cross, resting in God's love, not his love for the world in abstract, but his very real love for me. Then my ministry starts, and the overflow of that love splashes on everyone I come in contact with. I am filled with peace, joy, and love, even in terrible circumstances, because I am filled with the power of Christ, and that is the power I am using. Let the love of God fill you until you can say, like the psalmist, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Let his love fill you till it overflows and splashes all over those around you, because that is your ministry.
God alone is our rock and our salvation. Maybe not a lot will change this afternoon in our external circumstances, but we can know the deep reality of God with us, in them, through them. So I have two questions for us as we come now to around this table. The first question is this: What circumstances have we been trying to change that we just need to give to God? Family, work, finance, church, dreams, plans. What do we just need this morning to surrender to God, who judges all things justly? Secondly, what is our call in the here and now? Might not mean a huge change in external circumstances, but something deep going on in the Spirit's affirmation of God's call, the Spirit illuminating God's call before you. What is your call this afternoon in the here and now? I was listening this week, so you've heard me refer to Gordon Fee. He's a giant of New Testament scholarship in the evangelical world, and his commentary on 1 Corinthians is, broadly speaking, widely held as the best commentary. And I was listening to an event honoring Gordon Fee. In 2012, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, so a number of his colleagues gathered to honor him and to share words of testimony. And just listening to this event of this New Testament scholar powerhouse, it was amazing the things that came up time and time again. His love for his wife, his cherishing of the grace of God, his open heart to weep before people in his class, the way he honored women, how he was quietly, extremely generous. So what's God calling you to in the reality of your life at the moment? He wants you to embrace the call that he has on your life, the call of a way of being, just like Gordon Fee, just in normal ways, but in beautiful and powerful ways. Or the call of a renewed passion to follow Jesus in the usual daily routine. What do you need to lay down? What's God calling you to? And as we're just going to take a moment to reflect on those questions, in all of this, remember who we are. That's the point of 1 Corinthians 7. You're free in the Lord. You belong to Jesus. And it says there in 1 Corinthians 7, you were bought with a price, which took me in my mind to 1 Peter chapter 1. You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver and gold. But how were you ransomed? What price was paid to give you purpose and meaning? It was with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So remain with God. We will take bread and wine, and not a lot will change around about us. But something deep down is happening. Not a lot might change in our circumstances, but God can do a deep, deep work this morning. Yes, he can. He can work miracles among us this morning. Let's wait on him now. On the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry about what's going on around about you. Jesus, how we need you. We give you our worries. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are participating in this lovely moment that you encouraged, asked us to do as your followers. That you took bread, and after you've given thanks, you broke it, and you said, "This is my body given for you." And you asked us to do this in remembrance of you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that in the same way you took the cup and you said, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take this cup and drink it and remember me. Remember what I have purchased for you, infinitely more precious than silver or gold." You tell us this morning to remember your blood that was spilled so that you could ransom us, you could set us free. No matter what our external circumstances are, no matter what is going on in our lives just now, you have set us free. We are yours. You call us to remain with you. So, Lord Jesus, as we take this bread and this juice into our bodies, may it be a reminder to us that though maybe not a lot will immediately change around about us, may it be a reminder that you are doing a deep, deep work in us. Refocus us on you. Recenter us on Jesus. Help us to understand afresh and again the power and the freedom that we have in the Holy Spirit. And I pray that as we take this bread and wine, that we would go forth from here with renewed understanding that you are with us and that our victory in Christ is secure. Your praise shall be our battle cry. So, Holy Spirit, come now. Move in a wonderful and beautiful and powerful way, I pray.